Chapter 47. Loyalties. Chadan is kept behind as I am escorted from Sharik Hora by 6 white-sleeved holy warriors. They fall back as I leave the temple grounds, but continue to follow until I exit the holy city entirely. I've given him everything he wants, given my own life away, but still the Maji Eleveron doesn't trust me. I force a breath into a chest tight with anxiety, swallowing the urge to sit up from helpless anger. But who am I angry at? Everyone acts from love. Eleveron, for the love of his people, puts their welfare before his own honor, or my life. Darren, Selen, and the twins risked their lives out of love to find me and bring me home. Even Mother, who kept me in safe succor, like a bird in a cage, acted out of love. All of them moved like game pieces at the behest of the demon dice. Is that where my anger should go? Throes of the Alagai horror have shaped every moment of my life, even before I was born. But the dice only offer predictions based on probability, like the little women who come to Mother with their ledgers, predicting births and harvests and taxes years in advance. The very act of looking into the future threatens to change it, Father used to say. The bones are not truth-tellers. They didn't know who I was or what I would want. Such things are irrelevant. They simply calculated better odds if I was raised as the Princess of Hollow. Miko was right when she said I was losing myself. I'm not Princess Olive anymore. I cannot go back to that life, hiding who I was, what I could do, struggling to be perfect enough to satisfy an insatiable mother. But neither is Prince Olive the perfect fit I once thought he was. And there is no denying his life expectancy is far shorter than his sister's would have been. What point is there, being angry at a handful of dice? They are not truth-tellers, but neither are they liars. I tell myself the blame lies with the Alagai, whose hunt for me has left countless dead in its wake. But demons are nameless, faceless. They tried to kill me, but it was not their decisions that pulled out the stitches of my life to leave me exposed. In my heart, I know the truth. I'm not angry at the Maja, or my friends, not at my mother, or the demons, or the dice. I am angry at myself, because I am a fool. Chadan loves me. I am sure of it. He doesn't care that I am intersex, or that Cheen blood runs in my veins, only who I am. He accepts me. But I see now the rest of the Maja will not. The world will try to fit you into one of 2 boxes, Mother said. Even if Eleveron allowed me to be with his grandson, would it be as I am? Or would the privilege of bearing Chadan's children see me forced back into the harem? Would they try to take my rights, earned with blood and ichor in the maze, to hide me behind a veil? I shake my head. Now that I have earned the spear, I won't give it up. Ever. Mother fought off an ambush by a mimic demon and its horde while I was in her belly. I won't be told I am less than her because Eleveron has forced his people to step backward in history. My prince is the most skilled fighter I have ever seen, but he was willing to let the beta in the maze die rather than break tradition, to let the Alagai have the folk in the Greenblood Quarter rather than defy orders. Is he strong enough to stand up to his father, his grandfather, the whole tribe, to fight for what we might have? It frightens me that I have to think about the answer, that I doubt my Ajinpal. but all I can think of is his silence and downcast eyes as his father had the armourers strip him of the symbol of our union. As he was informed, they had chosen him a bride. But Selen, Darren, and the twins, they came for me. I feel an ache in my throat at the thought. They followed me all the way from Hollow, across hundreds of miles of demon-infested land and an unforgiving desert. I want to be angry at them for their foolishness. But would I have done any less? I think of Mika, and my stupid, hurtful words the last time we spoke. Oh, sister, I am so sorry. I return to the training grounds to find an empty field where the spear and olive pavilions once stood. An older Dalting woman in black robes waits there, rising at my approach. She does not make obeisance on the dusty ground, but her bow is deep and long. Prince Olive, she says when she rises, I am Madana, head of the women of the Marja Palace. I am here to escort you to your new quarters. There is much about Krasia I struggle with, but the palace servants I understand. Mother's head maid is one of the most powerful women in Theza. Madana may have bowed low for me, but I would be wise not to cross her. I follow as she escorts me to our new barracks, built into the outer walls of Chadan's new palace. Banners fly atop the turrets, signifying Chadan is in residence, but the busy courtyard that stands between the barracks and the palace itself might as well be a moat full of water demons. It will not be easy to cross without word getting back to the Demarji. I don't much wish to see my prince in any event, and the feeling appears mutual. Tomorrow is waning. We should be making plans and drilling the men, but there are no messages waiting, as Gorvan lets me pass into the barracks. The men billet on the first floor, Madana says. Meals are served below in the hall beside the harem. I raise an eyebrow. We have our own harem. Of course, she says, misunderstanding my interest. You and your warriors need a place to rest and eat and relax after fighting in the maze, to drink cool water and have your pains massaged away. Without wives of your own, the Jiwa Sharum are there to see to your needs. If you wish, I can... I shake my head. I do not require Heza. The Madana's eyes bulge. Jiwa Sharum are not Heza. Her shout startles me, and I react on instinct, taking a quick step back and assuming a Sharusak stance. Madana notes the move, and her air of control evaporates. She might have dominion over the Dalting servants, but I am a man, and a prince of the Kaji. She falls to her knees, pressing her forehead to the floor. Mercy, Prince Olive. Mercy? Just what does she think I'm going to do to her? She's shaking with fear. Rise, Tika, I say, hoping the term of endearment will put her at ease. It is I who should apologize. I meant no offense. Madana eases back onto her heels. She looks scandalized as I offer a hand, but she takes it and lets me pull her to her feet. She withdraws her hand quickly from mine. It is easy to forget you are new to many of our ways, Prince Olive. I will remind the servants of this so you are not startled again. You can start by telling me how I gave offense, I say. Heza are transactional, Madana says, lending their bodies for a handful of drachi or a jug of water, taking herbs to prevent the seeds of their unions from taking root. She looks ready to spit, even in her veil. Jiwa Sharum, our sister wives, your spear brothers, our husbands. It is a position of honor and respect. You protect and provide, and we give comfort and care, carrying the children of the glorious prince's unit into the next generation. I understand, I say, though I am not sure I do. I've only kissed two people, but both times it was freely given, not a sacred duty or paid service. My brothers speak often of the incense-filled pillow chambers of the Jiwa Sha-Rum, but I have never dared follow them there. Your chamber is located above, down the hall from the drill masters. Madana leads me to a private room. The space is not mean, and it is comfortably furnished with all my possessions, many of them the lavish gifts of a doting prince, already stowed or on display. Still, compared with the luxury of Chadan's private pavilion, it is small and unimpressive. I had bigger closets in Hollow. I ignore the dinner bell as I pace the room. Night falls, but there is no horn of Sharak to call us to muster. Other units have been assigned to guard the maze, to keep the prince's unit fresh for waning, and I am glad of it. I no more want to face my spear brothers than I do Chadan. My mind keeps going back to Selen, Darren, and the twins. Here, in Krasia, it seems like a dream. I love them for their tenacity, but the timing is terrible. If New Moon brings a storm, they are targets too. I'm thankful at least they are being held in the Holy City, shielded by the powerful magic of Sharik Hora. They'll be safe there, no matter what. There's a knock at the door. I open it to find a green-robed Qin servant bowing his turbaned head as he presents a tray of food. The smell of spiced meat and flatbread would normally set my stomach rumbling, but now it nauseates me. I don't want it. I move to close the door, but I came all this way. The servant looks up. It's Darren. I grab his arm, pulling him into the room so hard he needs to quickstep to keep from spilling the food from his tray. I glance into the hall, but there is no sign of anyone. I shut the door and pull him into a tight embrace. He's gone slippery, but solidifies when he realizes I mean no harm. We hold each other for a long moment. Then I push away. What are you doing here? Came to ask you the same question, Darren says. We track you all the way across the desert to find your... What? Maja, no? And a boy? I was never a girl, I growl. I've dreaded having this conversation with Darren my entire life, but his accusations and aggressive posture make it easy. I have the same boy parts you do. Darren looks at me like I'm an idiot. Know that? What's that got to do with anything? I blink. You know? What do you mean you know? Creator as my witness, Darren Bales, if you were spying on us in the bath. Darren looks offended. You might need a fancy helmet for a ward sight, Olive, but I was born with it, along with a bunch of other senses, all keener than they got right to be. Knew you had boy parts as well as girl since we were in nappies. Doesn't change who you are. And how do you know who I am? I demand, shocked to hear I was carrying such weight for nothing all these years. Know you're a fool. You trust that old man to let us go, no matter what you do, Darren says. He swore on the Skull Throne, in front of everyone. I sound defensive, even to myself. Darren shrugs. Creations can find a thousand honourable ways to delay something they don't want to do. Today they won't let us leave till you prove yourself, whatever that means. Then it will always be another waning, or a coming storm, or the position of the stars. They won't have the right provisions for the journey, or there will be a holiday to prepare for, a ceremony that takes months to plan, and on and on. They'll call us guests, and keep us in a silk prison. But now that we know you're here, they will never willingly let us go. So why promise them the sky? Now it's my turn to look at him like an idiot. Don't you get it, Darren? They would have executed you. Bah! He waves off my words like a bad smell. DiMaggi said it himself. We're too valuable as hostages. Something else is going on. Think it's got to do with that square-jawed prince you were holding hands with. I was defensive before, but mention of Chadan pushes me to a more aggressive posture. I ball a fist in Darren's face. I don't owe you any explanations about that, Darren Bales. You and Selen never asked my permission to play kissy, so I don't see why I need yours. I didn't ask you to come rescue me, and I'll stay if I want. Darren raises an eyebrow at me, then crosses his arms. They never came back. I'm confused. Who never came back? Aunt Leisha? Darren bites off the words. My ma'am? Wanda? Demons at their camp, not long after they went into the borderlands. Slaughtered hollow soldiers and warded children alike. Impossible. The word is a reflex. Remembering what it was like watching Ella Cutter tear her way through a pack of demons. What would it take to down the whole tribe of warded children, along with 500 of Mother's best armoured soldiers? What would it take to bring down the Duchess herself, or Mrs. Bales? Darren shrugs, unwilling to argue. Whatever you're thinking, we thought it too. But the bodies were still smouldering when Selen and I found them. Don't know how it happened, but it happened. Bodies. A chill goes through me. Did you find... Even now, after seeing so much death in the maze, I can't bring myself to say it. Mother is a force of nature. She can't be dead. Darren shakes his head. Couldn't find any sign of your ma'am. Or mine. Except... Darren reaches into his robe, sliding free a large and very familiar knife. Just seeing the weapon cuts me. I know what it means. That knife was like Mother's horror wand. Mrs. Bales never let it out of her sight. Oh, Darren. I reach for him. But it's Darren's turn to push me back. Don't want pity, Darren says. Want to hear you're going to stop all this nonsense and come home. It isn't nonsense, I say. These people need me. Darren looks at me incredulously. Hollow needs you. You're heir to the duchy. I shake my head. I don't want it. Selen is the Duchess's sister. She can do it. Doesn't work like that, and you know it, Darren says. You don't come back. The throne goes to Ilona. I love Grandmum, but we both know she would be a terrible duchess. At least she'll want the job. How are you expecting us to get home in any event? They can't hold me, Darren says. I squeeze through cracks like water, and no one can sneak up on me. Don't be so sure of that. I recall the eerie silence of the watchers who captured me. And the others aren't as slippery as you. Darren waves dismissively. I already know where the guards keep the keys. Give me a few hours and I'll know my way around the harem too. Bet you'll love that, I say. But Darren doesn't raise to the bait the way one of my spear brothers would. He just lets my words hang in the air until I drop my eyes. Point is... He goes on, as if there had never been a pause. We can just gather everyone and go. City's huge. Easy to get lost in while we steal supplies and crack open one of the older gates. Fort's meant to keep demons out, not people in. His plan is so similar to Mika's that I am stunned. Is it really that simple? Or are they desperately naive? And what if I go? What will happen to my spear brothers if I abandon them to the storm coalescing around Desert Spear? What will happen to the people? I can't just leave, I say. It's complicated. See that? Darren takes the pitcher from the tray and pours himself a glass of water. So explain. Got time? Bet the guards ain't even noticed I'm gone yet. I don't want to go back to Hollow, I say. I'm not that Olive anymore, Darren. I don't know that I ever can be again. I don't want to be. Then don't, Darren says. Go home and be yourself. Or make a home somewhere else. Night, come to Tibbetts Brook. Folk there love to gossip about their neighbours, but they generally get along. Believe it or not, we've got stranger folk than Olive Paper. Don't need to stay with your kidnappers to be yourself. The Maja don't want the real me either, I say. But I can't just walk away. I show him the armlet. It's a lock only Belinda's blood can open. Mika wears one too. They can track us if we escape or trigger the bands to contract and cripple us. Darren squints at the armlet, studying its magic with his night eyes. At last he shrugs. Warding ain't really my thing, but magic's magic. Even if we can't get it off, reckon we can muffle it till we get out the city. But it ain't got a range of more than a mile or two. Muffle it. I was a poor study in Father's Chamber of Shadows, but it makes sense. Magical energy conducts differently through the elements. There is always loss, but some are more pronounced than others. Gemstones and precious metals are the best conductors. Water is worst. I could stick my arm in a bucket of water, I say. It is both simple and utterly impractical for making an escape. I was thinking hog root paste, Darren says. Maybe with a plaster cast to hold it in place. I sigh. Even if that worked, even if we could just steal away. The Maja need me. I tell him about the prophecy and what happened on Waning, but he remains unconvinced. Say it's true, Darren says. Who's to say what joining blood really means? Could be you've already done that in the maze. Said yourself, there were no attacks last waning. Perhaps he's right. Except things feel unfinished somehow. Last month felt like the night was holding its breath. And now, with Darren and Selen suddenly in the city with waning about to fall, the trap is set. I shake my head. Something's about to happen, Darren. I can feel it. Our mothers have been missing for months. The Maja are in danger now. And what if they are? Darren demands. They kidnapped you and Mika. You saw what they did to Arik. Creator only knows what they'll do to Rojva and Selen. Don't owe him anything. There are 60,000 people in this city, Darren, I growl. I won't condemn them all because their leader is a misguided old relic. I lay a hand on his shoulder. You say they don't know you're gone. Go back and wait out the new moon. You'll be safe in the holy city. While you go out and fight, Darren says. I nod. When waning is over, I will hold Aleverin to his word. If he won't set you free, we'll escape together. I gesture to some of Chadan's lavish gifts. I can trade these for provisions to take us across the waste. Starting to think the waste was coming here in the first place. Darren reaches into his jacket, pulling out the warded cloak my mother gave me on the night she cast the dice. Brought you this, if you even care. He tosses the cloak at my head. I catch it, but my vision is blocked for a moment. When I can see again, Darren is gone. I look at the cloak and am filled with fear. Where is Mother? Is she alive? Or is this the last gift she'll ever give me? I fall to my knees, pressing the cloth into my face, and sob. I'm still weeping when there's a knock at my door. A moment, I call, wiping the last of my tears on the cloak and quickly shoving it into a cabinet. No doubt my eyes are red and swollen, but there's nothing for it. I put on Kai Olive like a cloak, projecting confidence and control in case it is one of my little brothers, nervous about the coming waning, If it is Chadan, I don't know what I'll say. But I won't hold back. Not anymore. I have too much at stake. But it is neither my prince, nor one of my brothers at the door. Drillmaster Chika bows.
Prince Olive, there are battle plans to discuss for tomorrow's waning, and Prince Chadan is indisposed.
I blow out a breath. Of course, Drillmaster. I wave the big man into my room and close the door behind him. I've just started to turn when a steel cable drops over my head and pulls tight, choking me. Something drives into my neck, and I'm shoved hard, stumbling until I hit the heavy floor. The cable burns across my throat as I twist to see Chika holding me at the end of an alagai catcher, a hollow metal staff run with a loop of cable at one end that the user can give slack or tighten at will. Alagai catchers are designed to negate the strength advantage of demons, keeping them out of striking range while the cable cuts off their air. I grab the pole before Chika can crush my windpipe, but already I am unable to breathe. I try to force it back on him, but the drill master is ready, dropping into a roll and using his own weight in an attempt to pull me down. I manage to keep my feet, but I'm forced to stumble helplessly along with the pull, feeling my face swell as I struggle for blood and air.
I knew you were a traitor.
Chika whips me around the room, smashing me into a dresser, a support beam, the wall, the floor. All along, he keeps his balance, always moving, always controlling the battle space. I curse myself for a fool. Darren might be able to hear the heartbeat of a fruit fly, but one of the first items Father tried to teach me to make in the Chamber of Shadows was a listening device. A demon bone split into two pieces, each with wards of resonance carved upon it, will carry sound from one to the other, even at distance. But was Chika the one listening? Or is he simply an agent? I'll never know if he kills me. I'm whipped by Darren's tray and snatch up the water pitcher, hurling it at Chika's head. The throw is true, but Chika yanks at the pole, dragging me along as he lifts his guard to bat it aside. Blackness begins to creep in at the edges of my vision as I watch his feet. When he moves to throw me again, I match him step for step, pulling on the pole and sending both of us stumbling toward the support beam. I roll around it, bracing the alagai catcher like a lever and pulling hard. The drill master attempts to hold on, but he's thrown into my writing desk and loses his grip as pens and ink rain down on him. I drop to my knees, pulling the cable from my throat. I draw a hoarse breath and immediately begin coughing. But there is air in the hacks and wheezes. Blessed air. Chika is unfazed, already on his feet and stalking in, with quick punches and kicks meant to break bones, hyperextend joints, and stun major muscle groups. A blunt but effective form of Mika's precise strike school of Sharusak. I accept a few blows as the cost of getting the noose from my throat and struggling to my feet, but I still have armor plates in my robes, and I'm tougher than I look. I get my guard up, catching a punch on my rolled-up arm, batting another aside, and rolling under a third. But my return blows never land. I'm dizzy and slow, still gasping for air while the drill master is fresh, his breath smooth and even. Like a dancer, he bats aside my blows, more often than not with a stinging counter. I'm taking more blows than I can evade, feeling like the clapper in a bell as the drill master pummels me. Then he sees an opening and hooks my legs, dropping me to the floor and pouncing as he seeks a submission hold.
Prince Olive!
The drill master and I look up as one to see Fasik standing horrified in the doorway.
Stay out of this, boy! Chika growls,
but in that moment of distraction, I heave with all my might. With solid floor beneath me, I have the leverage, and Chika is unprepared for my full strength. I reverse the hold, putting an arm around Chika's neck, pulling to cut off his air and force a submission, much as he tried to do me.
But I'm too desperate, too angry, and fighting for my life. I don't hold back. And with my muscles at full flex, the drill master's neck breaks with an audible snap. He collapses to the floor, killed instantly. I kneel on the floor, breath heaving as I stare into Chica's dead eyes, waiting for Fasik to cry out, to summon our brothers and the palace servants to call me a murderer. But he doesn't. Instead, Fasik quietly closes the door and comes over to stand beside me. What did he do? I look up at him in confusion. It doesn't matter. Fasik's eyes scan the room. You would not have killed him without cause. We can restore your room to order, but it means nothing if a dead drill master is found here. We must get rid of the body. The words are such a relief. It is all I can do not to start weeping again. There is no we, Fasik. Killing a drill master is a high crime, even for a Kai. If we are caught, Fasik cuts me off by spitting on Chika's body. He would have let me starve to death, or cast me out in shame. If I have a life, it is thanks to you. I lay a gentle hand on Chika's face, closing his eyes. His head lolls bonelessly as I turn it, seeing the resonance ward on one of his earrings. If the drill master was spying directly, then I have a chance. I am numb as we clean the room. I feel the maelstrom of emotion swirling around me only at a distance, focusing my attention on sweeping up shards of broken pitcher and writing scattered furniture. The result is not perfect, but on casual inspection, the room appears normal. With Fasik scouting ahead, we make our way up to the ramparts. It's forbidden for any save Sharum and Dharma to go out at night, and there is no one about save a handful of my brothers, still unaccustomed to patrolling the palace walls. We wait until there is a gap, and take Chika to a secluded spot on the west wall. Fasik produces a bottle of Kuzi, pouring some into the drill master's mouth and on his clothes, then shoves it into Chika's stiffening hand before we pitch him off the wall. We do it so casually, as if we murder people every day. I worry the patrolling guards will hear, but the drill master makes less noise than I expect, striking the cobbles at the base of the wall with little more than a muffled thump. Off the west wall, his body will be in the shadow until noon, at least. We slip back inside with little effort. It was so easy. I killed a man, and it was easy. I want to sick up, but I squash the feeling, reaching out to put my hand on Fasik's shoulder. Thank you, brother. Always, Fasik says. My life is yours, my prince. You should go, I say, wondering how long it will be until they discover the body. The longer he goes without being found, the more his blood will congeal and be less useful to the Dharma Ting in determining his cause of death if foul play is suspected. And it will be. Chika wasn't using horror magic to spy on me without orders. His disappearance will draw scrutiny. But from whom? He was friends with my brother. But what reason would Iravan have to kill me? Aleveran seems more likely, or Charvis. I wonder, just for an instant, if it could have been Chadan. Bile rises in my throat at the very idea, but I choke it back down, refusing to believe it. What will you do? Fasik asks. Return to my quarters, I say, but first I will visit the palace harem and make sure I am seen by the Jiwa Sharum. Fasik nods. Good luck, brother.